Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The previous session went somewhat academic, and although I was hesitant to go into that direction, I feel that it was extremely important for all of you because it highlighted the fact that the work of our madahib, of Imam Shafi'i, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad, and all those hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of scholars that came after them to solidify their work, was actually not random, and it wasn't something that an individual made up, but rather it was a way of analyzing the Qur'an, the hadith, the qiyas, and the ijma', the four major sources of Islamic law, in a beautiful way to allow a final ruling to be derived. So when we discussed each of the branches, or each of the classifications, for example, farad or wajib or sunnah, and then we subsequently discussed how these are derived or what type of source is required to derive them, the goal was not that we become fuqaha in and of ourselves and learn to derive the laws based on our own knowledge, because we only see a limited number of ahadith and we have a limited knowledge of the Qur'an. But what I wanted to highlight was that this beautiful method is the way by which our madhahib and the ways of the schools of fiqh were actually derived. So these are actually traditional schools which 99% of the ulama have followed throughout time, and they continue to follow in this day and age, and it reflects the work of hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of scholars. And subhanAllah, it is one of the greatest blessings that exists within our deen, that instead of having to quit our jobs or to give up everything so that we can study all the ahadith and all the Qur'an, we can simply continue to live within this world, but at the same time ask those who know. And this is what exactly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do, that when you don't know something, you ask those who know. And those who know happen to be a body of 1 million plus ulama and scholars who over the past 1400 years have derived a beautiful system of law for us, and we should pray for them, pray for their grave, pray for them on the Day of Judgment, and ask Allah to give them the highest of rewards. Moving forward, there are 8 major classifications of deeds within the Sharia. In the previous session, I, in order to simplify, perhaps only listed 6, but in this particular instance, I would like to actually go over 8, because these are the more practical divisions of the deeds within the Sharia, and inshallah they will highlight on a more practical basis exactly how we should look at particular deeds. So the first, or actually let's list all 8 before we move forward. The first is farad, mandatory. The second is wajib, necessary. The third is sunnah mu'akkada, which is an established sunnah. The fourth is sunnah ghayr mu'akkada, which is a less established sunnah. The fifth is mubah, which is neutral. The sixth is makruh tanzihi, which is something which is slightly disliked. The seventh is makruh tahrimi, which is highly disliked. And the eighth is haram, which is completely forbidden. Going through each of these independently, an act which is farad is something which is necessary for you to perform. It is mandatory that you perform it, and in fact, if it is left, it is 1, a major sin, and 2, it may invalidate an action completely. For example, in the wudu, there are 4 mandatory parts to wash, and we'll be covering this shortly, and if you leave them out, for example, you do not wash your arms during the wudu, not only is that a sin, but also the wudu will not occur altogether. So farad is something which is mandatory. The second classification beneath that is wajib. Wajib means necessary, and it is something which you also must perform. However, it is derived from a proof which is slightly less than the proof necessary to establish a farad. And we talked about this in the previous session. So for example, in the salah, reciting any qira'ah, anything from the Qur'an in an individual rak'ah of the salah is mandatory, it is farad. However, reciting Surah Fatiha in particular is actually wajib. So if you were to leave Surah Fatiha purposely during the salah, your salah would not occur. So it is something that you actually must perform. It's just that on an academic level, the proof is a little bit less firm than something which is established as a farad. So essentially, as far as practicality is concerned, both the farad and the wajib are acts which you must perform. There's a slight difference. For example, in the salah, if you leave a wajib, you can actually make up that wajib with the sajda sahu, or the sajda of the prostration of forgetfulness at the end of the salah. However, inshallah, when we reach the salah, I'll cover that in more detail. As far as today is concerned and our future sessions, just know that something which is fard and something which is wajib are essentially both actions which you must perform, and if not, you could potentially break a deed of worship and also involve yourself in sin. The third is sunnah mu'akkada, which means an established sunnah. In the case of sunnah mu'akkada, what we mean is that, how we look at it is that you must perform the deed, performing it is rewarded, and if you leave it without an excuse, then it is reprehensible. There's a classification beneath that, which is called sunnah ghayr mu'akkada. It's a slightly less emphasized act of the Prophet ﷺ, or a sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And in this case, if you perform the act, you are rewarded, but it is not reprehensible to leave the act. The fifth classification is mubah. Mubah means neutral. For example, if you came to me and you said, should I wear a gray jacket or a navy blue jacket? I would say the Sharia looks upon this as something which is mubah, meaning you have a choice. There's no reward and there's no punishment associated with the choice between a gray jacket and a navy blue jacket. The sixth is something called makruh tanzihi. Makruh tanzihi means something which is slightly disliked. In the case of makruh tanzihi, it is recommended that you avoid the act. However, should you involve yourself in the act, there is no punishment. Again, if you avoid the act, then you can hope for reward. The seventh is makruh tahrimi. This is something which is slightly more disliked, meaning there is either a stronger proof or a stronger command to avoid something within the Sharia. Avoiding this is required. It is required that you avoid something which is makruh. Don't forget that the word makruh means disliked. And disliked, by disliked, we mean a dislike to Allah and His Messenger. So this is something which is highly disliked to Allah in the eyes of both Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore we should try to avoid it. If you avoid it, you are rewarded. If you indulge yourself in it, then it is potentially punished. And the final classification is haram. Haram is something which is completely forbidden. If you indulge in something haram, it is expected that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish such a person on the Day of Judgment. And if you avoid it, then inshallah you will be rewarded as someone who avoided or refrained from something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited within his deen. So these are the practical classifications of the Sharia. And it's a little bit less academic than the discussion which we entered in previously regarding how a fard or how a wajib is established. But at the same time, I think it's a more necessary classification for us, given that we are common people with a common base of knowledge, so that when we learn the various classifications, and should we, for example, be caught between in a tight spot, we would know exactly how to act and how to model our particular deed for the scenario. For example, if you are out camping and you don't have enough water, but you need to perform the wudu, then it helps to know that there are only four mandatory acts of wudu and that everything else is essentially sunnah, so that you can easily perform those four mandatory acts and complete your wudu without having to move to tayammum or purification with dirt, which will also be covered, or actually I should say purification with types of earth, which will actually be covered in a future session.